Welcome to Grace-Filled Grit. I'm your host, Lana Stenner, and we are chatting all about growing your faith, family, and the backyard farm. Here at the Grace-Filled Homestead, we are having honest, hard, and authentic conversations with some amazing guests about getting back to the basics and what's important in life. We are not for everyone, and we don't clean up our conversations, so you will get the unedited chat. Each episode, you can expect practical tips and encouragement. I am so honored to have you join us today. So grab a cup of coffee and let's do this thing. Hey, friend, welcome back to the Grace-Filled Grit podcast. Today, we are talking all about flower gardens with my good friend, Stacy Ling. Stacy is a master gardener, and she has one of the most beautiful gardens in the world, in my opinion. She is the genius behind Bricks and Blooms online platform. Welcome, Stacy. I'm so glad to have you on the show so we can chat again.
Hey, Lana, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, it's so good to chat with you again. So I'm sure that most of my friends here know you, but for those that don't, tell them a little bit about yourself.
So I live and garden in New Jersey. I have been growing things, mostly flowers, for almost 30 years. I generally say over 25 because I just think that sounds better.
I'm with you.
But almost 30 years. And I just love it. I started out, I actually haven't been interested in gardening my whole life. You'd think like someone with as much spirit, as much experience as I have, that you'd think I'd be doing it my whole life. But really, I didn't start till I was in law school, inspired by a friend of mine who was a neighbor at the time. And I just thought it was so cool that she grew these really neat things in a very small plot of space outside her townhome. And from there, it just sparked this interest. You know, I killed a few plants and then I found some success with growing flowers. And so, you know, that just sort of snowballed into this passion, this lifelong passion now. So
I love it. So tell us about your very first garden that you had. And also, I wasn't planning on asking you this, but the transition from law school, and now you're this master gardener. Tell us a little bit about that and kind of what your first garden was like and how that went.
So I'll just kind of start from the beginning. So my husband and I lived in this very small condominium that we didn't even have land. So like we had community space. We were an upstairs unit and there was like this little small plot outside our house that was like communal with us and our downstairs neighbor. But that's just a little background. So when I first started growing things, living there, and I was in law school, I was in my second year of law school, my neighbor, she was growing lots of gardens and I thought it was so cool. So I wanted to start growing things. So she was like, why don't you start with houseplants? And so I did. I picked up like a rubber plant and a couple other fun plants. Well, I killed them all. Killed them all with probably a little too much love. And, you know, she was like, hey, you know, why don't you try flowers in the spring? And I was like, you know what? You're right. So she suggested starting with impatiens because in that little strip of property that we had, it was a bit shaded. And so start with one flower, one easy annual flower. And you know what? It grew, it bloomed. And like, that was it for me. I was like, this is so cool. I need to grow more. And so after like another year of living there and kind of staying small in that little patch of, I think it was like 2x3, like it was so small. I finally convinced my husband to make the move to a home that had half an acre. And then from there, I just from the moment we walked in the door, I was throwing things in the ground.
Oh, I love it. That's so fun. And you recently moved. And I remember watching you, and we've been friends and we've chatted, but I've been watching your online space and I was like, oh, she's moving. Her gardens are so beautiful. That's so, you know, it's easy. Of course, we pack up our furniture and our closets and all those things, but it is hard to move as a gardener and like what things do you take and what ornamental, you know, fixtures do you take and do you take your raised beds or is that rude to take? And so I was wondering how that would go. And then sure enough, you get in your new location and I'm like, this is season one for her and her Garden is stunning. Season one. How did you pull that off? I mean, it was absolutely beautiful. I was so shocked at how quickly you made it so beautiful.
Well, I'll tell you this, when we first saw this house, it was in October. So their landscaper had leveled all the plants. I didn't even know what was here. But I knew that there were all these outdoor garden rooms and spaces, and I was like, the possibilities here are amazing. So my husband agreed to take a leap of faith because I said this was the right thing to do. And we moved in, and I'll tell you, that whole first year we were here was like Christmas morning for the gardener, because every day I would go out and something new that I didn't know was there was blooming, or like they did such a great job just giving this place bones. But then when I came in, I knew where there was bare spots, and so I love to do like cut flower gardening and seed starting and stuff like that. So I really came in and started putting my own stamp on things. And then after, and I kind of really held back because I really wanted to see what came up, throughout that whole first year. And I'm glad I did, because there was so much. And I also could see, well, what grew well where, so I knew how much light certain spaces got. Like, we have a lot more shade plants here than I had in the old house. So like I'm growing a lot more hellebores and Virginia bluebells and like Brenera and stuff like that. And so I could really learn the property that way just by seeing what was planted where, And so just over that whole first year, I did make some changes. I knew I wanted to make some changes, but then as every year has progressed since moving in, it's like I just hone in on something else that I want to do. And so now it's like it's really starting to take shape.
Yeah, that's so exciting. And how fun to see new things popping up that someone else put in before you, and you get to carry on and cultivate their plants that they basically handed down to you. That's just precious. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, there was a lot of plants here that I had always wanted to grow, but just couldn't because I didn't have the space.
That's neat. So for someone listening that loves flowers, they're your standard person that usually buys a few containers at, the home goods store or whatever each year, but they're interested in getting started in flower gardening. What are some of your favorite easy flowers to grow so they can have a success? So many times in gardening, we just do stuff that is hard because it's pretty, or we want that vegetable or whatever, and it's not an easy plant, and then we get frustrated. And that's for us, like we did that, and then we just shut down for a couple of years because I'm like, I suck at gardening. And then come to find out the things I was trying to grow are just not native to here, were not for my zone, and they were really hard. And I'm like, okay, that should be something we're telling people, is pick something easy so it's a success, and then you can build on that. So what are a few of the flowers that you would suggest for a beginner?
So, depending on whether the space that you're growing in has a lot of sun or a lot of shade, so it's a really good idea to know what your light conditions are before growing stuff, because that I think a lot of people don't do also, is they don't look at that space and say, well, what kind of light does this get? So the way that you do that is you check the same spot on a sunny day, wait till your trees leaf out, and watch it for a full day and count how many hours actually get full sun. And then you'll know whether you're full sun, part shade, or shade. Anything 6 to 8 hours is full sun, 4 to 6 is part shade, and anything less than 4 is shade. So if I were just starting out growing flowers, I would go with shade plants. I would go with something like impatiens, or even begonias are also really pretty and pretty easy to grow. For sun, I would do petunias. They're really easy. Pansies, they're a little more cool season though, so I wouldn't plant them for summer because they don't love the heat. But calabacoa is a little, that's pretty fun. Lantana is another nice one.
That's good. That's
Bacopa.
good.
If you want to start your own seeds, I mean, you could find them at the nursery, but like zinnias, sunflowers, it's just not the same as when you start them yourself, because you have such a better variety if you start them yourself.
Yes, I agree. And zinnias are they're one of my favorite, super, super easy ones for sure. And I think we're in the same zone, right? I'm in 6B. Are you in
Yeah, me
6B?
too.
Okay. I was thinking we were in the same zone there. So for any of our listeners, I mean, for us, and I'm not sure you, but where I'm at, we go over 100 degrees in the summer and we go below zero in the winter. And it's usually not a, a lot of days, but we do have it. So we have the full gamut of weather here. And if I wanted to do four seasons of color, I know you had talked about this before in my garden, beauty all year round, what do you suggest I plant?
So you definitely want something evergreen because that's something that's going to give you that color all year round. It could be something conical, or if you want something that blooms, you could go with something like a rhododendron or an azalea, mount laurel, because they keep their foliage all year round. You know, boxwoods are always pretty. And also, like, it also gives your eyes, you know, gives the garden like a little bit of structure, having those in the garden. But then you also want to look at your flowers and your foliage because, you know, flowers bloom at certain times during the season, especially, you know, talking about perennials or shrubs. And then foliage color, which I think is often overlooked because, you know, a lot of times you get this beautiful foliage color in spring and it changes to like a brilliant autumnal hue in the fall. So if you kind of think all those things through, over time, you can really develop a garden that is always growing and blooming and changing like throughout the season, and yet still have that backbone with your evergreens.
Yeah, I love that. So for those of us that have gardens and we see, when I look out my window, I see deer all the time and I love them in
Oh, yeah.
the farm pasture next to us, but I don't like them over in my property. So what do you suggest that we do if we have a lot of deer around? How do we deter them? Because they're so sweet and cute, but they just will destroy a garden. So what do you suggest?
So there's a couple of ways to deal with deer, and I mean the first thing that would come to mind would be to erect an 8-foot fence, but not everyone can do that. I mean, not everyone can do that. Not everyone wants to do that. So there are ways to kind of plant with them and plant around them. There's a lot of plants that are more deer resistant than others. So anything with like an odor, like a lavender or a nepeta, things like that, they tend to kind of leave alone. Cleome, just salvias, Russian sage. Like we have a field here, and they leave a lot of these plants alone. And then there's other plants that are like poisonous for them to eat. So like hellebores, daffodils. They don't like alliums, anything from the onion family, things like that. So if you look for plants like that, that's a great way to still get those blooms that they'll tend to leave alone. Rutgers Cooperative Extension did a whole list of plants rated by deer resistance, and you can actually look up plants that you want to plant, and it has like a 4-tier rating. And so I would go with like the rarely ever eaten. Nothing's 100%. But the other method that I do here is I do a lot of repellents as well. So I am really good with it. It's really important that if you grow things that they like let's say a hosta, for example, as soon as that hosta breaks ground, you want to start spraying it. And then as it starts to unfurl its foliage, you want to spray it again. Like you want to spray it a few times before it's full grown, and then you want to keep up with it because deer are creatures of habit, and they go on a path. And once they learn that they don't like your whatever you have in your garden, they'll find another path. And then that's the whole, so you really want to get them early on in the season and just teach them, like, don't come here.
Yes. And so when you were talking about those plants, would companion planting them, because I do a lot of companion planting, like with my vegetables and like my tomatoes, I always have marigolds next to them and that type of thing. So do you think that that would help? I've never, so the deer love my, our vineyard, have a couple of lines of grapevines. And they love them, but I've never really companion planted over there. And so maybe that's something I should take some of those deer resistant plants and put them on that side of the property as well.
Yeah, like taking some nepeta or some Russian sage, like anything that has that lavender, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. oregano, rosemary, like all those kinds of plants they tend to avoid. Lansing,
maybe I should Bernarda. Move the whole really herb pretty. Garden. Yeah, the whole herb garden's going over there.
And they do tend to leave those alone. I mean, yeah. you know, it's a different problem when you have rabbits or you right. know other creatures, because they might nibble on stuff, but right. they're very particular with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
they also don't like to go too low to the ground either. Mm-hmm. I think it's just too far for them. So
right.
anything really low growing, they tend to
stay away from. That's good to know. Good to know. So you are known for your amazing garden designs. And I absolutely love your new book. And the photography is just stunning. It's called A Beautiful Easy Care Flower Garden. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see the picture here. It's just a stunning, stunning book full of not just gorgeous pictures, but a lot of practical tips. So I love you talk about in your book, the butterfly garden design. And that sounds so fun. And I would just absolutely love, I have a very special little 3-year-old girl that I would love to do that. What are the components of a butterfly garden?
So you want to make sure you give them a water source, a nectar source, a lot of plants to help them like lay their eggs, like their caterpillars and stuff. So you want to put host plants in, like milkweed and things yeah. like that, and then offer them a bunch of nectar rich plants that they can really, you know, dine on when they drop by. Like they love zinnias, they love butterfly weed, milkweed, again, Bernarda. There's just mm-hmm. so many things that you can plant to really attract them. Like last summer, we just had so many butterflies here.
Yeah.
Aww. And I was just amazed at the amount of
yes.
plants they really love. Like I have an abelia. They were all over that. Butterfly bush, they were all over that. I mean, goes without saying, but
right.
one of the fun surprises here, what that first year was a bottle brush buckeye. Have you ever?
No, I have not.
I saw one years ago in a catalog and I was always like, oh, that looks like such a cool plant. It's got this really big foliage. It likes dappled shade and it gets these really beautiful, like white panicles of blooms. And the first year we were here, it started to bloom and it was covered in butterflies. It almost looked like a butterfly habitat.
How neat.
So cool.
I love that. I love that. Well, that is something I'm excited to do. And we have not, you know, we've done a lot of planting for our bees and our beehives and all that. And it's kind of similar, but a little bit different. So I'm excited to do that this year. So that's exciting. I'll definitely be in your book looking at the designs for that for sure.
It's a good idea to find things that are, you know, consistently blooming so that they know to kind of keep coming and staying around, brightly colored flowers, you know, things like that.
Yeah. Good. I love that. Okay. So personal question. I'm going to be selfish here for a minute. Peonies. I have peonies. Do you have any tips for peonies? I just really struggle with my peonies and they take forever when you plant new ones. And they're just so moody. Do you have any tips for peonies? Because they're so gorgeous. When they're up, they're so worth the work. They're so worth the wait. They're so short. Their season is, you know, just so quick. But I love them. They're kind of like a rose, but more casual and beautiful and full and plump. But good grief, they're moody. So tell me your tips for peonies.
So with peonies, I would say, especially if you want to get a longer bloom time, is to plant a bunch of different varieties.
Okay.
The more varieties you plant, like especially if you're doing, you know, your general peony, like a Sarah Bernhardt type peony, you know, with the big, yeah. beautiful flowers versus like a tree peony, they all bloom at different times.
Okay, that's
so
good to
you
know.
You can really extend your season with them just by doing that.
Right.
Now they don't love, I've not found them to enjoy being moved. They
no.
don't really seem to like
no.
division.
No.
They don't
no,
like to
they
move.
Don't.
I've had peonies take 10 years
yes.
to bloom. Like you
yeah.
really have to like planted and, you know,
Yeah.
open right away because I don't know how to speed that up, but
Yeah.
they
'Cause I was just like, is this me or what is going
no.
on? Literally, we're on year three and I'm seeing, I see some greenery, but where are the flowers? Goodness.
But my one tip for peonies would be, because I don't know if you've noticed that they always the blooms get so heavy they flop over.
Yes.
It's
Yes.
a great idea to add supports to those. Get
Okay.
those grow through supports. I really like the ones with the grids because I feel
Yeah.
like they keep the blooms up a lot better and they're a lot easier to work with than
Yeah.
just like the big hoops. But they work so well and really just keep those blooms more
Up
upright.
high. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And I haven't used those yet. So, okay. So, last question for you. Explain what a cut flower garden is and what are the best flowers to grow in a cut garden?
So a cut flower garden is, I'll tell you why I wanted to start one, because I have such a hard time cutting the flowers out of my garden because I really enjoy them outdoors. So what people grow a cut flower garden with the specific intent of cutting the flowers to bring them indoors and enjoy in a vase or, keep them in their outdoor spaces in a vase and make arrangements.
Right.
So, the best way to start a cut flower garden is really from seed because you're not really going to find a lot of those plants at the nursery. I mean, you might find like a few, but there's so many more options and varieties available if you start them from seed. And so, if I were taking on starting a cut flower garden for the first time, I would start with plants like zinnias, snapdragons, sweet peas, cosmos, calendula. Is really pretty. Celosia, straw flower, lots of those are like ones that really germinate with ease. Larkspur. And I start my seeds three different ways. I start them direct sowing outside after all frost has passed. I also do indoor sowing where I grow them under grow lights. And I also do winter sowing where I sow them outdoors in the middle of winter in like recycled containers. And that works really well too. So I'm sort of starting to develop a system for myself so I can kind of save more of my indoor seed starting space for the ones that really need that I want to have a little more control over. And the others I kind of start outside that I know just start with ease and do well with those other methods.
Yeah, that's good. And so in 6B, as of this recording, are you, because I'm running really late, I have our whole basement is just filled with just seed starting, the heat mats and the lights, and it looks very interesting down there. But I have been, it's just been a crazy season, and my mom's in the hospital, and I've been so far behind. How far in are you as of this recording with your seed starting? I'm assuming you have all your plants ready to go and started.
Not all of them yet.
Okay.
I still like need to do my celosias, my zinnias, cosmos, like all those guys. But I
Yeah.
did already start my sweet peas,
Okay.
larkspur, snapdragons. I did hollyhocks outside winter sowing. They all came up.
Oh, nice.
I started delphiniums. I'm trying foxgloves this year, winter sowing them.
Oh,
I
okay.
started them last year indoors and they did
Yeah.
great. And I decided to experiment and try them outside using winter sowing. I don't know how they're doing,
Okay,
but I
I'm gonna
haven't
I
tried
would
yet.
love to hear how that goes because I have never done that. I've done those inside, but I've never started those out. So let me know how
Yeah,
that goes.
I really wanted to test that out, and
Yeah.
that's the fun of gardening, right? Like you can
Yes.
just experiment. Like if something works, well, can I do it this way next year? And just try new things. And that's how you learn. That's the best way to learn,
That
and that's
is.
even just since, since I started with my, interest, almost 30 years ago, that's how I really learned just by doing. And then once I got really into it, I was like, oh, well, you know what? I want to really get into this. And then I decided to study to become a master gardener. But not everyone does
Yes,
that. I mean,
right.
but it's like that learning is really by doing
Yes,
more so than
yes.
just like a textbook. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I love that message of, just do it. And even if it
Yeah.
messes up, you're talking about a couple of dollars in a seed packet. It's not like you wasted a ton of money and you learned what worked and what didn't. And I love that message of just getting in there. Well, Stacey, your book is absolutely beautiful. Tell our friends here online a little bit more about the book and where can they get it?
So I specifically wrote this book. It's dedicated to my friends because through the years they always told me, "How do you do this? I don't know how to do this. I can't grow anything. The deer eat all my plants. I'm not good at growing things. I don't have a green thumb like you." Well, this book is for you if you think like that too, because that's who I wrote it for. So I really want you to be able to grow flowers with ease, be successful, and choose plants that are like easy to grow, easy to maintain, so that you can just do it and not have to worry about a fussy plant that's gonna just die on you because you forgot to water it one day. You know, these plants are really resilient, and I'm just trying to give you some ideas of how to do things together with like garden designs and the basics and introducing you to how to grow a cut flower garden and container gardening and things like that. You can find the book on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, Books a Million, Christian Books, at a bunch of I know Target, Walmart, I think has it too. And yeah.
I love it. And so where can they find you if they want to follow? And let me just say, your feed, Instagram feed, your social media platform. I know you're an amazing blogger. You're really good at putting stuff on your blog. I'm not as
Thank
good.
you.
I don't stay up with mine as much. So I'm very impressed with that. But what you do and then the pictures you share. So I love that it's not just this aesthetic account that you can go to and see beautiful things, which I have accounts where I just look at them because they make me happy and they're pretty. But you also share a lot of wisdom in your post. So if they're wanting to follow you, tell them what's the best place to find you and what your handles are on those.
So on social media, I'm on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Pinterest, all the socials at Bricks and Blooms, BRICKSN Blooms. And my blog is stacyling.com, and I'm active on there and posting there all the time. I just want to share my passion for growing things because I think everyone should be growing something.
And
It really nourishes the soul.
it does. It brings so much joy. And if you're in a bad mood, just shut your computer, go outside in the garden, and it will change your mood instantly. It really does. So, well, Stacey, thank you for coming on. This has been really good information. I can't even believe we haven't. I mean, I know we've chatted, but I've never had you on the podcast, so I'm glad we finally made this happen. So good luck to
Talk
you.
soon.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me. Bye.
Thank you for joining us today in this episode of Grace Filled Grit. I know that your time is valuable and I truly appreciate you being here. I hope it was helpful and that you'll share it with a friend. In order to schedule amazing guests on our show, we could use some good reviews. So if you've enjoyed this episode, I'd be honored if you could head over to the podcast app on your phone, tap the album art for the Grace Filled Grit podcast, scroll down to the bottom of the page, and write a review. I'm looking forward to our next episode, and I hope you'll join us again. Blessings to you today, friend, as you live out your own grace-filled grit.